The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This review is brought to you by Miracle Made. Go to trymiracle.com/Dan and use the code Dan for a special offer. And stay tuned after the review for more info.
Hello, everybody. I'm Dan Merle here with my review of Challengers, which hits theaters this weekend. I'm a little bit later than usual because I'm on the road, so I couldn't quite stick to my usual movie-going, recording schedule, etc. But I wanted to talk about this movie because I think it's very, very interesting. This is the latest from director Luca Guadagnino, whose last film was Bones and All, starring Zendaya's Dune co-star Timothée Chalamet. I would love a peek into the reality where the strikes didn't happen and both Challengers and Dune Part 2 both made their fall 2023 release dates, because I think that that would have made award season 2023 last year even more interesting than it already was. Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a young tennis phenom who attracts the attention of two doubles partners, Patrick, played by Josh O'Connor, an Emmy winner for his portrayal of Prince Charles in the middle seasons of The Crown, and Art, played by Mike Feist, a Grammy winner for the cast album of Dear Evan Hansen, and who I still think should have been Oscar nominated for Steven Spielberg's West Side Story. Their relationship together plays out over a period of 13 years as they bring out the competitive spirit in each other, both on and off the tennis court.
Wait. Are you on Facebook?
What?
He's asking for your number. And so am I.
The ads for Challengers are positioning it as kind of Euphoria the movie, with a heavy focus on a threesome scene between the three co-stars. And while this scene is in the movie, Challengers is so much more than that. I don't think the marketing is doing it any favors by positioning it as the kind of movie that you might have to verify your age online to watch in some states, or the kind of film that you would watch on the scrambled cable channel back in the 90s to see if you could get like one still frame of something naughty. Not that I would know or did anything like that. Sex is a major component in the story, but it's not the driving force. These are three people who are addicted to each other and to competition, often toxically so, and sex is just another way to score points and perhaps an advantage in the contest. What makes Challengers so interesting to me is that it's about three people who would be simultaneously better and worse off if they never met each other. I think that it one day would make a great double feature along with Whiplash, because the movies focused on a lot of the same themes. It's about the boundaries of excellence, the consequences of broken dreams, and what's really necessary to achieve greatness. Like Whiplash, it doesn't provide easy answers to those questions, but it's a fascinating psychological study of three very complicated people. Adding to the complication of the story is that it doesn't play out linearly. These scenes unfold across the years in different chunks as the movie goes on. Now, what the movie, I think, did a really good job of is convincing me that I'm seeing these characters over the course of 13 years in hair and makeup in different ways. It didn't look like you were 30 trying to play 16 or 17. The casting was appropriate and the looks were appropriate for that time jump to not feel weird, especially because you're going back and forth so much. Still, though, there are some people that are not going to be fans. The couple that brought their baby to my morning screening, for example, were not fans of the nonlinear narrative. They were complaining about it loudly as they left the movie theater. Although I will say that it is difficult to watch a complex narrative unfold when you are burping and feeding and shushing your child throughout the entire movie. So, you know, while I think the movie does get a little bit too cute with the structure at times, it largely worked for me because it still follows the rules of drama with big revelations as the film progresses. The difference is that the characters are ahead of where we are as an audience instead of having things happen to them as we watch it happen. It really only enhanced the dynamic for me because it does reshape things when you go back and look at them when a new piece of information is presented to you, but it does, like I said, still follow the rules of drama. There is one particular instance of the concept of Chekhov's gun, which, if you don't know what that is, it's basically a dramatic rule that says if you show a gun in the first act, then the gun has to go off in the third act. The way that it's used in this film is such a textbook use of that concept that it should be taught in film and drama schools going forward. The screenplay for Challengers is from Justin Karitzkis, a first-time screenwriter who made an impression initially with his viral YouTube video Potion Seller in 2011. And I love that we're in an era now where YouTubers and people that had viral videos in years past are now writing and directing and acting in mainstream movies and TV. It's like that old Second City pipeline from the 1970s and 1980s, just without the barriers. Karitzkis obviously has a great handle on character and, yes, structure, as unconventional as it is, and he's already written the screenplay for Guadagnino's next film, Queer, starring Daniel Craig, which is slated to also perhaps hit theaters this year. He's also married to Celine Song, which means that the award season last fall would have gotten really, really interesting if Challengers had made that date. And it also makes their household, I think, one of the most exciting and talented households in Hollywood right now. The performances in Challengers are excellent all around. I was an early Zendaya doubter for sure, but she has long since won me over. I thought that she was great already in Dune Part 2. She also serves as a producer on this film and is great in it. Tashi is a complicated character, to say the least, who allows herself to be the sun around which Patrick and Art orbit, shining her light on whomever she decides to at any given moment. But as the film goes on, you start to question whether she is a nourishing sun or if she's just a supernova ready to explode at any moment and then contract into a black hole that's just going to suck everyone and everything around her into it. Josh O'Connor plays the kind of reckless character who's at once pitiable and strangely admirable in some ways. Patrick has talent, but no love for the game or desire to play by its rules. His instability attracts and repels Tashi in equal measure, whereas Mike Feist's Art offers more stability but less passion. He's the one with respect for the game and the rules, the kind of guy who's friends with Patrick because they balance each other out, but who is completely incompatible with him and perhaps incompatible with Tashi. The bizarre reaction of opposites attracting and repelling each other is one of the story's best qualities and what makes this weird combination between these characters so fascinating to watch. Luca Guadagnino is becoming one of the best filmmakers today at making erotic, complicated, often twisted love stories where sex and fatal flaws intersect with explosive results. He's also not afraid of a little camp, and Challengers is a movie that is fully aware of just how messy its characters are. But he doesn't overplay that hand, and we are actually in suspense about what the aftermath of whatever the blow-up is going to be, whatever comes next, and it all culminates in a match that basically plays out throughout the entire movie, what should be a low-stakes match in a dead-end tournament, and yet it has all of the stakes of a Wimbledon final and a duel for honor all wrapped up into one, and it really works with the escalating tension of the story as the film goes on. Challengers is a great looking and sounding movie as well, with cinematography from Guadagnino's Suspiria and Call Me By Your Name director of photography, Soyombu Mukdiprom, and music from Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross. Their music is, as always, perfect for the movie, although I did find its use in some places distracting. I get the effect that they were going for, but I felt like at some times it undercut the scenes instead of underlining the drama in them. Overall, if you're going into Challengers looking for a steamy, sex and nudity-filled erotic thriller, you're going to be disappointed. It is often erotic, it is often thrilling, and there is some nudity, though mostly non-sexual, but it's not the titillating movie that the ads may be selling. Instead, it's a superbly acted, well-written look at three people who need each other in some combination that none of them may be able to live with, where every point on the spectrum of sexuality presents its own off-court challenges. Overall, I'm giving Challengers an It's Good rating with high praise for the acting, writing, and technical aspects. The only things holding it back for me are the sometimes distracting musical choices, the overuse, I think, occasionally, of the shifting time narrative, and then what I thought was the perpetuation of some harmful stereotypes around mental health, and specifically men's mental health regarding vulnerability and weakness and conflating the two of them. But those things are for a different video, and I think that you can sometimes disagree with the way that a movie portrays something and not write the movie off entirely. So it's a recommendation for Challengers, which, as I mentioned, is in theaters now. What do you think? Are you going to be checking it out this weekend? Let me know down in the comments below. And before we go, I'm going to thank the sponsor for this review, Miracle Made. This episode is brought to you by Miracle Made. People put all kinds of thought into how and when they sleep, finding that perfect balance of too tired or not tired enough. But do you know what one of the biggest impacts on sleep quality is? Your own temperature. And if you find yourself waking up with the night sweats or shivering under the covers, I recommend checking out Miracle Made sheets.
Miracle Made sheets are designed to keep your body temperature at the right spot for you. Their silver-infused fabric was inspired by NASA to regulate your temperature, and they're also incredibly comfortable without the high price tag of other luxury brands. And as a bonus, Miracle Made sheets are also made to prevent up to 99.7% of bacteria growth, which means they smell better and you can keep them on longer. Go to trymiracle.com/Dan to try Miracle Made sheets today. And whether you're buying them for yourself or as a gift for a loved one, if you order today, you can save over 40%. And if you use our promo code Dan at checkout, you'll also get 3 free towels and save an extra 20%. Miracle's so confident in their product, it's backed with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you aren't 100% satisfied, you'll get a full refund. Upgrade your sleep with Miracle Made. Go to trymiracle.com/Dan and use the code Dan to claim your free 3-piece towel set and save over 40% off. Again, that's trymiracle.com/Dan to treat yourself. Thank you, Miracle Made, for sponsoring this episode.
Thanks to Miracle Made for sponsoring this video, and thank you for watching. Be sure to stay tuned right here for more movie news, reviews, box office, and more. Until next time, stay safe, and I'll see you then. Bye.